You might recall from last time that we looked at this final example of MVC, a model view controller architecture, and it pretty much boiled down to organizing things a little more cleanly in directories. And if I do tree, which is just a command that shows me the file system like this, we had a nice and neat templates directory, a public directory, and so forth. And the general idea was only put in the public directory, the files that really need to be public, and everything else should be nicely organized. But effectively, inside of this public directory, we had a whole bunch of controllers. Individual controllers that somehow required or included other files. But we really didn't get much more functionality than that. And in fact, we kind of had to implement this notion of views or templates ourselves with the extract function and a render function that we implemented ourselves. And as soon as we start doing this, we'll start to realize, we'll start to build up a wish list like, oh, wow, I wish I had a library for sending emails. I wish I had a library for querying a database. I wish I had a library for dot, dot, dot. And that's why these libraries exist. This is why people use Django with Python, because it just gives you more. It's why people use Rails with Ruby, because it just gives you more. It's why we'll use Laravel, because on top of PHP, it just gives you more. And just to tease you then for a moment, I'm going to go into a vhost directory, into a sample application using Laravel. At first glance, frankly, it's probably a bit overwhelming, because there's so many files, so many directories. But the important thing, and as we'll see after a quick break, is to focus only on the most germane things to getting some work done initially. And that's going to be in the app directory. As you'll see in here, there's still a bunch of folders. But the ones I'm going to care about primarily are this. If I open up routes.php, notice as a teaser how this application's about to work. This is a re-implementation in Laravel of the super simple, stupid course application that gave me week 0, week 1, lectures, and the PDFs. I'm simply going to specify, and the screen's a little cut off again, I'm going to specify the following, that I want to define a route using HTTP GET for slash, and whenever a user for this application visits slash on my website, I want to execute this anonymous chunk of code, namely return view colon make. So this means call a static method inside of a class called view, and make renders a template that's called index, and it passes in a bunch of key value pairs, in this case title. Meanwhile, if a user visits slash lectures, this code should execute, and the lectures template should get rendered. Finally, if the user visits lectures slash something, where that something is, per the bottom here, a number, one or more decimal digits, then I want to render the lectures template passing in the title as well. So the end result is that if I actually pull up this application in my browser, the end result is exactly the same, albeit with slightly sexier URLs now. Now it's lectures slash 0 instead of week0.php. But let's pause here. Let's take a 2-minute break. When we come back, Tim's going to come on up and introduce us to the inner workings of Laravel and the kind of functionality we're about to get out of the box.
All right. So now we're going to be taking a deeper dive into the Laravel PHP framework, which David mentioned. So Laravel, the first place we're going to start is going to the quick start and installing it via something called Composer. So Composer is a package management system for PHP, similar to Gems for Ruby, or pip for Python, or npm for Node.js. Composer helps to manage all the different dependencies that Laravel depends on when sort of under the hood it uses a lot of the Symfony and other PHP frameworks' inner workings. And so we're going to use the command line that they give us here, composer create project laravel, after we've installed the composer utility, which I've already done on the, let's see. So I'm using the CS50 appliance because this has all the correct PHP versions and MySQL and everything that we need to get started running. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up the terminal here and jump into the vhost directory. And I'm going to paste this. Can't do it that way. So I'm going to SSH to the Linux instance that I'm running in the VMware. And I'm going to run this composer create project Laravel, and I'm going to change your project name to just example mvc.dev. And behind the scenes, this takes a little while the first time you're going to do it, but it's installing all of the dependencies that you're going to need to run Laravel. So hopefully this does not take too long. That should just take a second. The first time that you do it, it'll take a few minutes probably because it needs to get everything. I have it all cached here. So now that we have example.dev, what we're going to need to do to be able to access this in our Chrome browser is go ahead and jump into, we're going to sudo vi the etc hosts file. And we're going to go ahead and add a new line here with the IP of the 50 appliance, which is shown here in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, the 192.168. And this might be different depending on your machine. So 192.168.69.128 project example.dev. OK, save that. So now if we go to example.dev, we see the, let's see. Oh, I was in the wrong directory. So let me go ahead and move the example.dev into the vhost directory. And now if we refresh it, we see that it says forbidden, you don't have access. So we need to go into the example.dev directory in vhosts, and we need to chmod to 0711 the example.dev, as well as the public. Oh, I did that wrong both times. So the example.dev as well as the public directory that's underneath it so that it's able to get to the index.php. And now if we refresh, we're still having problems. So inside the example public directory, if we list all the files, including the hidden ones, there's an htaccess file. And this is used by Apache to help determine for this specific directory where requests should be routed. So this also needs to be chmodded to 0644. And now you have arrived. So that was the quick install of Laravel via the command line. So let's go ahead and I'm going to use something called Samba. If you're not familiar with it, you can, if you, from the Finder menu, go to Go and connect to server. And you can go ahead and do smb:// and the IP address of the Linux instance that we're running in VMware, and go ahead and connect to the server so that you can mount it as a file system and use it as if you were locally connected to it. So I'm going to go ahead and pull this into an editor called Sublime Text. If you're unfamiliar, it is a really nice editor that is available to edit code files. And so we're going to take a look at the directory structure for the project. So there's a few different folders in the top level. There's app, which David has mentioned already. There's bootstrap, which are some files used internally by Laravel to bootstrap all the dependencies, load them all in, make sure that all the magic methods are called properly to be able to. There is the public directory, which is where all of our public-facing assets, such as the index.php, where requests are routed, images, CSS files, JavaScript, anything that needs to be directly accessible by the world lives in the public directory. And then the vendor directory are all of the assets, or all of the is under the hood that does a lot of the heavy lifting that Laravel depends on. So typically in a public directory, this is sort of what you'd see, the CSS, JavaScript. Those files aren't there when you install the framework, but those are things that you'll likely want to add as you're building out your applications. The htaccess file that I mentioned, and the index.php, which is the front controller for the where all the requests go through initially. So inside the application folder, these are the, there's actually a couple, there are actually a few different folders here. There's a lot of them, and as David mentioned, it can be overwhelming at first, but you just want to concentrate on these specifically. So there is the routes.php, which is what we saw earlier to show that you can route a specific URL and HTTP method to a certain either anonymous function, as David was using, or a controller, which we're about to go over. There's the config folder, which is where you set any application configuration that you need, such as database settings or any APIs that you might be dealing with if you're using something to send mail or if you're connecting to Amazon to store images. You would set all of those configurations in a central point in the application so that it's sort of conventions that everyone, as they're working on a team, you don't have to think about where is this. It's just you have a set place where it goes. That would be in config. Controllers are the place in the application where you typically route requests. So the controller handles a lot of the application logic and sort of picks what the display of the screen is going to be, the views, and then also shells out to the different models which contain the data and pass those to the views. So you sort of, the controller is sort of the dispatcher for the requests, you know, what you're going to do with the data, or with, depending on what the request is, what data should be shown and where do we get it from. And the views are typically just HTML, maybe using a templating engine, as we're going to go over with the Blade templating engine that Laravel ships with. And then the other directories for right now we're just going to sort of gloss over and not worry about, but those include tests, so unit tests for your applications, filters, storage, keep doing this. All right, jumping back over here. So the first thing that it comes with is this route get, and it does view make hello. So if we look in the views directory, we see that there is a hello.php, and that's where this you have arrived is coming from. But we can also change this to, so you can change this to hello. And now if we try to go to a route that's not defined, we get this sort of stack trace as to what went wrong with the application. But if we go to slash hello, there's actually a internal server error. So there is a little bit of magic going on behind the scenes in the CS50 appliance to make sure that you're able to name all these directories conveniently, the name of the example.dev that we gave. So we actually have to change one more thing in the htaccess file. So we're going to go ahead and add this line, rewrite base slash. And that basically is another directive. David, you can speak more to what the rewrite base does.
It essentially corrects for what the server thinks is supposed to be the root virtual host. So specifying to ignore that by rewrite base slash addresses.
Right. So now slash hello works properly. So let's jump back over here. So along with just doing an anonymous function like this, there are, so this is just a recap of the MVC I was just discussing. It goes into the routes and then shells out to controllers, and then which deals with the models and views and how all of that should be dealt with. So controllers are sort of help to centralize all of that, and you can access them via routes by saying route get. So we could say route get hello, and then the controller name at and a method name. So let's go ahead and give that a shot. So we'll say route get slash hello, and we'll do a hello controller at show hello. So in order for this to work, we need to add a file called hello controller.php. I'll go ahead and, so it extends a base controller, which Laravel already ships with, which extends a controller, which is sort of under the hood and does a lot of the stuff behind the scenes that helps controllers to manage all of this state that's coming into the application. So the home controller, we said it would be named show hello. And we'll just, instead of returning a view, we'll just return hello world. I copied it. Hello controller. So hello world. So that is just a really, really simple example of how you can create controllers. Now, if we wanted to do a show post hello, so if we wanted to hit this with a post, so can anyone tell me what the difference is between a get HTTP request and when you might want to use one of each? Yes. So post shows up on the, that's actually get that shows up, right, with the question mark and the query string, basically, that gets appended to the URL, whereas a post is used when? Yes. Right, so it is the post information, as you said, is kept hidden from the URL. So it doesn't show up in the URL, but it's typically associated with a form, like if you're logging in with a username and password. So posts are associated with forms when you don't necessarily need to save that state somewhere, whereas GET requests are typically if you are going somewhere where you want to, if you're doing a Google search, for example, and you want to be able to bookmark that, you want the query string to have the state of what your request was there. So the routes similarly let us define, if it's route post hello, we can say hello controller show post hello and return this was a post. So in order to do a post, we actually don't have a form here. So what I'm going to do is use a application that you might find really convenient when developing and testing your applications. It's called a REST client. And the one I'm using is Cocoa REST client. And you can do a Google search for this. And it's free to download. And if you're not on a Mac, there's just Google search REST client, HTTP. And you'll find there's plenty of them out there. But basically, we can take this URL that we want to hit and say method post and hit submit, and this was a post shows up. So we're sort of spoofing and saying that this was a post request coming from this thing, this REST client. And in the last class, when we were discussing the request headers that you can look at in the console, here you can set any of the things that you'd want to deal with. So the content type, the expect, what the different headers are, essentially, that you're saying that this is where it's coming from, so as to be able to test your application or figure out what's going on behind the scenes. You can sort of act like you're a browser and sort of change what you're actually doing. So the other options with controllers are to specify not just get or post, but you can also specify controller, which, so in this case, the example is route controller user hits user controller. And in this case, it does some magic behind the scenes so that if you prefix a route with get or post, so if I went ahead and did public function get hello, and I had this as, or sorry, get index, and had route controller hello controller. Then this would go ahead and return depending on what the HTTP verb is here. So the ones that we're familiar with, get and post, but there's also two others called put and delete. And you can think of get as sort of analogous to querying a database. Get is sort of like a selecting from the database. Post is creating a new entry in a database. Put is updating something that's already there, and delete would be sort of like deleting a row. So that's actually called CRUD, create, read, update, delete, and that's a very common pattern when building out web applications. So let's go ahead and dive a little bit more into some of the where we can go with displaying data on the screen. Did you go over the blade? Sorry.
I didn't open those files.
Okay, got it. Okay. Sorry, just one second. Okay. So Laravel ships with a, as David did earlier, a view make, and you can render these views, which are essentially PHP files in the views directory. But what you can also do is use a templating language to not have to write all these PHP code inlined in your HTML. So that ends up being sort of a mess if you have markup mixed in with your PHP code. That's something that's sort of frowned upon and has been one of the reasons that people don't really, the PHP has gotten a bad name, I guess you could say, over the years for instances where you're not separating your application logic from the display. So Laravel actually ships with a really nice templating engine called Blade. Really nice templating engine called Blade, which gives you nice syntax for rendering different chunks of logic that are coming from your controllers. So we're going to go ahead and do return view hello. View make hello. And we're going to go ahead and pass it an array with, we're going to do course and intro to Laravel. So now we change, so the Blade templating language actually doesn't use just .php as the extension. It uses .blade.php. And so instead of you have arrived here, we can actually use curly braces and say course. There we go, setting the syntax to Blade. So you can see it's nicely highlighted. And we'll take a look. So intro to Laravel. So what this helps us to do is when we're querying data from our database, we can pass it into a view and then use different constructs of the Blade templating language. So here's the Blade documentation. So you're used to, for example, a for each loop having, you know, open, or it would look something like for each item, and then you would have sort of a loop like that. The Blade allows us to have these really nice for each users as user. There we go. So you can see nicer syntax, less curly braces, and it also, as opposed to doing the HTML escape character, it it deals with all of that for you if you use a triple brace on the outside. So how far do you think I should go into the blade stuff?
I think that's sufficient, and especially next week as we start to dive into the first project, we'll walk you through some of these steps as well. So I don't think it'd be bad to transition to the Eloquent discussion.
So one of the defining features of the Laravel framework is the eloquent ORM. And as David pointed out, an ORM is an object relational mapper, which allows you to map database rows to objects in PHP, and allows you to create associations between these different tables really easily without having to write a lot of SQL under the hood, and gives you a really nice syntax for searching for an individual record. So instead of saying select star from courses where something else, you would say courses find all, or courses find and the ID of the course you're looking for, and it would determine what SQL is supposed to be written and execute it properly for you and give it all back to you in an object, which you can then display on the screen really easily. So the way that the eloquent ORM works is to, the convention that it uses is that if you have a database table which is pluralized, so for example courses, you would create a class in the models folder called course. And that's all you'd have to do is say class course extends eloquent, and it under the hood automatically assumes that what the table name is, what the ID is, so it assumes that there's an auto-incrementing ID, and let's go ahead and just, so there's one that comes with Laravel by default, it's called user, and it uses some advanced features called interfaces, which we're not going to go over, but you can see class user extends eloquent, and you can set the table name if you're not following the convention of the pluralized, having a plural table name and a singular class name. But we'll go ahead and create one for, given the example from before, we'll go ahead and create one for courses. So we'll do course.php and do class course extends eloquent. And so I'm going to jump into phpMyAdmin and actually rename this table to courses. So now I have a courses table with just some example data from the course catalog that David had mentioned. And now that this course is in the models directory, we can go ahead and say course limit 10, so we only want to get 10 records, get. And we'll say that this is courses. And so now we're going to go ahead and let's create a better view to display this stuff, actually. So I actually created a Blade template earlier, and I'm just going to go ahead and copy it over here just to save a few minutes of time. Okay, so I created in the views folder, I created a courses.blade, and so I'm going to do view make courses, and I'm going to pass a variable courses with the, actually that's not going to work. One second. Courses title. Okay. Okay, so it didn't work because it says access denied for user root at localhost. So can anyone tell me what they think might be the problem here? So the problem is that I never told Laravel who I am in trying to access the database. It doesn't automatically know that I am able to access the database I'm trying to query. So in the config folder that I had mentioned earlier, there is a database.php file. And in here, we need to say that we are username jharvard and password crimson. And now, if we go ahead and do that unknown database. So the database that we're trying to hit is called courses 50. And let's see, this time it worked. So what it's doing here is it is, let me go ahead and jump back to the controller. So I did courses limit 10 get. So I just said I only want 10 rows from the database, fetch those for me and put them into this courses variable. So this courses variable is now an object which contains the different columns which I can access really easily in the template. So I say for each courses as course, let me go ahead and zoom in, and I just say course title or course description, and it goes ahead and outputs whatever the database row is there. So as you can see, it's much simpler, much easier to reason with than having to write out the SQL by hand and then figuring out how to map it into an object. But where it gets really powerful is when, as David sort of had mentioned earlier, when you start to have different tables that you want to associate with each other via foreign keys, you can have these objects do the heavy lifting of the querying and figuring out what pairs up with what and how to go ahead and render that. So if we look at, let's go ahead and jump back here really quick. So database config, had I gotten there? Do you think, should I do this now?
Let's skip migration.
Skip this for now. So the different types of relations by default, some of the there are a few more than this, but these are the four most common, are a has one, a has many, a belongs to, and a belongs to many relationship. So you can sort of think of a has one as, you know, if you only have one of something. So in this case, an account, this is just really dumbed down, simplified example schema, but an account only has one supplier in this case. So there's a supplier ID and a supplier. So in the accounts table, there's a supplier ID, and the supplier itself has an ID, and there's only, it's a sort of a one-to-one relationship. Whereas there's a belongs to. So an order could only be placed by a customer, whereas a customer might have a bunch of orders. The order only belongs to a single customer. You can't have three different people buying the same thing in this example. And then a has many, like I said, the customer has many orders, but not the other way around. And then belongs to many is the more advanced relationship that David had been going over earlier, where you sort of join two tables via a interim table. So in this case, assemblies parts is a join of the assemblies and parts. Or in the example that we were giving earlier, the courses and the instructors were joined by a course instructor join table. And in this case, and in Laravel's case, it actually doesn't require a primary auto incrementing ID on the join table, though you can have one. It actually doesn't require one for it to work the way it does. So let's go ahead and set up sort of a few different objects based on the layout of the database that we have right now. And so we're going to keep courses as our base object, but we're going to say that in looking at the database table, the course has many meetings, so has many meeting times. It belongs to a department, and it belongs to both many instructors and requirements. So there might be multiple requirements for the course, but the requirements could be shared by different courses. So let's go ahead and see if we can model that a little bit using the Eloquent models. So we've got, let's start with the instructor.php. So similar to before, we're going to go ahead and say class instructor extends Eloquent. And so this would assume, as I said earlier, that there's a plural of instructors, and this is the table that it will be mapping to. And now on the course, we'll go ahead and say, we'll create a method. So it's a public function instructors, or public, sorry, public function instructors. And the way that Laravel sets up relations is you return a this belongs to many instructor. So this tells us now that the course is associated with the instructor model. That's all we needed to do to set up that relationship. And now, as we're in this loop here, we can say, so because it's a has or belongs to many relationship, there can be one or more instructors. So it's an array, or it's an object that has more than one instructor on it. So we're going to also loop over it here and say for each course instructors as instructor, and then pick out the first name and the last name. I believe those are the columns. So first and last, could be first name, last name, but first and last are the way it's set up in this course catalog. And let's go ahead and see if that renders. So instructors, yep, it looks like they're showing up unless there's not one associated. So in this case, there are no instructors listed with that course. But in all the other cases, you see one or more instructors as defined in the relationship. So one thing that is sort of a gotcha sometimes with ORMs like this is you go ahead and define a relationship and you think, okay, it's fetching my data properly. As I'm looking here, everything's rendering on the screen all right. Everything's okay. It's doing all the SQL behind the scenes for me. But what's happening here is when it first fetches the courses, it doesn't know that you're also going to be looking for the instructors. So it fetches all the courses for you, and then it goes to display all this data in the view right here, and then it gets to this for each course instructors, and it says, okay, I don't know what the instructors are yet, let me go fetch those. And it's doing this every single time that you're going through the course loop. So every single time that you're trying to display a course on the screen, it's sort of late to everything saying, I need to find what the instructors are for this row. And so it's doing n plus one queries. So it's doing however many loops you have, it's doing another query. Whereas that isn't the most efficient way to go about fetching and displaying your data. So the way to fetch everything up front in Laravel is to say course with instructors limit 10 get, and now it knows it looks no different just to the eye, but instead of doing, I guess it would be 12 queries or so behind the scenes, now it's only doing two or three. So we can continue in that fashion and set up just a few more relationships. So what were some of the other has many meeting? So similar, we set up a model called meeting. Class meeting extends eloquent, and everything should be taken care of here. If we look at the meetings table, it's got a auto incrementing ID, it's plural, so everything should work properly if we try to display the meetings. So let's go back to where we're displaying this. And it was a has many meeting. So let's look at the meetings table and see what we might want to display here. So let's just display, actually I have a template set up for this. I'll just grab a little table. And paste this in right here. So I'm going to display just some data about the different course meetings. And valid argument for each course meetings is meeting. Let's see if I missed something here. Meetings, I had it singular. So now we have sort of the table here as to the different meetings, what the type are, when it begins, ends, etc. So I could continue on in just setting up these relationships, but as you see, it sort of abstracts the SQL from having to be written by hand, and it takes care of a lot of the heavy lifting behind the scenes for you when you create these associations based on the keys that are set up properly in the database. And as you're going through and installing Laravel, there's so much to cover. It's actually sort of difficult to try to see which part to bite off and go over. But there are a lot more, which we'll continue to discuss probably on Monday. A lot more features to the Eloquent ORM and the different ways of saving data, associating data, deleting things, creating the different scopes for when you're querying, inserting related models, et cetera. So you can take a look through this, and I think
the process will be like then moving forward is once we've formed our four-person groups, once we've decided on what the various groups' projects are, the way responsibilities will generally be divvied up is one or two of you will sort of go back to the drawing board and figure out, all right, for whatever problem we're trying to solve, here are the entities we have to implement, for instance, an instructor or a course, some kind of joining thereof, and you'll spec out the database tables as we did in the first half of today. Then as Tim alluded to here, the next step in that process will be to come up with the classes, and you'll write a few files that extend Eloquent in this way using some of the out-of-box functionality, but then also adding maybe some of your own functionality. For instance, get phone number, where you might nicely format the phone number based on some standards theme and so forth. And then all of that information will presumably be communicated to your one or two or other three other people in your group saying, all right, you have these classes, you have this functionality, now start actually writing the logic, implement the controllers. Meanwhile, someone else in your group will handle the views. And so the blade templates that Tim was alluding to, someone will take care of the front-end experience and the user interface and the drop-down menus and all of that. And even though we've just begun to scratch the surface here, the fact that Tim didn't write a single line of SQL and the fact that he was sort of able to automatically join these multiple tables is where you really start to see things fairly powerfully. And so even though at first it's going to absolutely be a learning curve because you sort of have to learn how this particular framework works, in the end, adding some new table, adding some new feature to a course catalog and the like can take just minutes to do, and updating the templates just seconds. So it's really quite exciting what you can start to do quickly. So thanks so much to Tim on that cliffhanger. Do take care of the lottery form. Otherwise, nothing to do until you hear back from us in a day or so via email. We'll see you next week.